Welcome to Behind the Podium, a podcast series brought to you by Fusion Learning Partners that lets you hear what speakers are saying before or after the podium mic is turned on. Join me, your host, Jasper Appleton, to find out what makes these speakers tick and find out new insights on topics that matter to you on each episode of Behind the Podium. Welcome back to Behind the Podium. I'm your host, Jasper Appleton, and with me today is renowned chess grandmaster, author, and pundit, Mr. Maurice Ashley. Thank you so much for joining me today.
Thanks for having me, Jasper.
Absolutely. So tell the listeners a little bit about kind of what you do. If people don't understand kind of what a chess grandmaster is or what a, you know, a chess pundit does, but give the listeners a little bit about kind of what you do in your day-to-day life.
I love that word, pundit.
Thank you.
It's been applied to me.
But, I would definitely call you a pundit.
Kind of a pundit there. A chess grandmaster. Well, first of all, being a professional chess player back in the day means that I'm one of the top chess players around. It's the highest title that you can have. I'm no longer at any kind of elite level because now I do more commentating, which is calling elite chess matches all around the world, great tournaments of the best players on the planet. I have a lot of fun doing that. I bring a certain style to it because just being Brooklyn raised, you know, trash talking is what we do. So I do a different kind of chess commentary from what people are used to, but it seems to work. And I've been doing that now for the better part of 20 years. But chess is essentially my life. And I also talk to quite a few corporations about how chess impacts business strategy and life as well.
Awesome. And I do want to get into your commentary career and the things you do with corporations, but I'd like to dive in a little bit more on your backstory. So you were born in Jamaica and then moved to New York when you were 12. How would you describe the impact that the New York chess scene had on your development towards becoming a grandmaster? What was the vibe like at places like Union and Washington Square?
Well, New York was everything for me because I actually got serious about chess here in New York at Brooklyn Technical High School, BK, in the building. It's where I went to school and learned chess. I couldn't make the high school chess team, which is not normal for a chess prodigy who usually starts like 7, 8 years old. I started at the geriatric age of 14 for chess players quite late, but I was obsessed. And thankfully in New York, we had a couple of great things. One, the park scene, as you mentioned. For me, it was in Brooklyn, not Union Square and Washington Square Park, which are Manhattan. But Prospect Park in Brooklyn was my start. There were a lot of players out there who loved to play. There were hustlers out there who did take my lunch money. Yes, I wanted to play against the best I could find. And that had a major impact on me in terms of understanding what it was like to get beat and have to come back and get your feelings hurt and go home and study and come back again. The hustlers were not going to take it easy on you. And I really developed a lot from that New York park scene for sure. Eventually, though, I had to get into the clubs, the more upscale Manhattan and Marshall chess clubs that were a bit different.
And I would like to talk about a YouTube video. It's one of your most famous with over 8.8 million views. And it's you playing against a trash talker in New York City. And I can't help but notice the similarities between the video and your cameo in the show Billions. And I would like to say that is one of my all-time favorite shows. I love Paul Giamatti. So I have to ask what it was like shooting for the show Billions and pulling a fast one over on Paul Giamatti. Can you describe that kind of scene? What, you know, because it's kind of intense.
They gave me a lot of love on that show. In fact, they reached out to me because of the YouTube video that you mentioned.
So it was related.
It was absolutely related. They saw the video and they thought, let's make that into a dramatic piece in Billions. And they said they wanted me to be the chess advisor. They thought I was too cool, too smooth to be a hustler. I said, excuse me, I want to play the hustler. So they made that happen. They were surprised. They said, let's just do it. So we set up a similar kind of a technique. I won't spoil it for the listeners. That happened with me against Paul Giamatti. He's a great guy. He could switch it on and off in a second. And the thing is, I'm not an actor, but I felt the intensity in the moment when he was threatening me. It was like, what happened to Paul? Where did Paul go? He was dead up serious with the threat. And I felt it in the moment. So it was a lot of fun.
Was he that good at chess? Like, does he play chess?
He does not play. You know, the guy's such a brilliant actor. It's like he can transform into
just do anything. Yeah.
And so I was super impressed by the flow in the moment. Anything I directed him to do, he just did. And it was fantastic.
That's so cool. And so still thinking of Chuck Rhodes, you are our 2021 Government IT Symposium keynote speaker, presenting to an audience full of people kind of like Chuck Rhodes, intelligent and innovative people who are driven towards making the world a little bit easier to operate. How would you define the relationship between innovation and a sport like chess? What skills can people pick up from the game and implement into their own life?
Well, the thing about chess is it's change or die. That's just the way it is. It looks like you have an ancient game that's been around for 1500 years. In fact, all that's true. But the reality is chess is all about innovation. If you just play the same old ideas all the time, people will know those ideas, study them, and then bring a brand new, what we call a novelty in chess. We'll drop a new move on you and you'll be sitting there thinking, where the hell did that bomb come from? We are always changing in chess. We're always changing with the times. We're always even changing with philosophies. Worldviews affect the strategy on the chessboard. And particularly technology has transformed chess in a dramatic way as the engines, the computers have now become better than we are. And there was a time when that would have gotten humans feeling a bit hurt, feeling like, you know, dejected that computers could play better. But now, current crop of chess grandmasters say, so what? I'm not trying to beat the computer. I'm trying to beat you. And So we use technology as it gets faster and faster, is able to analyze chess better and better. We use the strategies from the computer that it's teaching against each other. And so chess has elevated even more so. The modern day chess is freakishly separated and different from what it used to be. And so it's change or die. It's just the way of the world.
Yeah, and that seems like a really, you know, important metaphor for kind of everyone to know. And I think the one thing that I also want to just kind of segue into next is you talk about the changes in chess, and especially with, you know, computers and how that's. I'm curious to know your opinion on the relationship between chess and its association with streaming and esports, because there's a lot of, because how I now watch chess is just a lot on Twitch. I personally have never really gotten into chess, but I'm on Twitch a lot. And I know people like, you know, Grandmaster Hikaru, I think I probably butchered his name, but I know he signed with TSM, and I'm very, really big into esports. And I thought that was a great move, because I think esports has an easier avenue to grow in terms of viewership wise on a platform like Twitch than a medium like cable network TV. So I would be interested to hear your opinion on kind of where you think chess is going to go with the addition of you know, grandmasters signing with esports teams, the, you know, people like the Botez twins streaming Twitch a lot on
the fact is it's already matured. It's not new. Right. Hikaru Nakamura, you did get the name right.
Okay, good.
He's huge on Twitch. He's got over a million subscribers both on Twitch and YouTube. At least on YouTube and tons on Twitch. The Botez sisters, they're rocking it. We've got Gotham Chess. Oh, we've got Danya. We've got people just killing it right now on Twitch. I even jumped in for a little bit, but it's just taking too much of my time. But people are flooding me with interest as well.
I would have loved to watch you, honestly. I would definitely be subscribed.
You can check me out. You can check out some of my past shows. I was definitely feeling it. Twitch is a great platform. We have got great success. Chess, it's interesting to see a game like chess, as I said, pivot with the technology, change or die. That's what we believe in. And that kind of platform is ideal for chess. It's the main thing it's done is it's given people access, direct access to the personalities, the fact that chess players are not just like monolithic nerds who sit at home all day studying chess. No, you've got people who've got vivacious personalities who are funny, who bring an energy that you're like, wait a minute, that's not what I expected. And that has been really wonderful for our game.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, I agree. I did watch a couple of the matches that you commentated, and it just felt like another, like just like anything else that I was watching, or another esport, because I spend a lot of time, because I would love to be an esport commentator, watching, you know, VODs or live games, and it's still fascinating, just like any other sport. So I think
it's a sport.
That's what I always tell people, you know, like it's like esports, chess, it's a sport, you know.
Chess is a sport. Chess is cutthroat. Absolutely. Chess is is stab you in the neck. Like, yeah. I'm trying to kill you. I'm trying to embarrass you. I'm trying to take your best idea and show you how bad it is. That's my game. And so we bring that out, the energy of it. Right now, I'm calling the U.S. Chess Championship. I don't know when this is going to be broadcast, but just at the moment where when I'm speaking, I'm calling the U.S. Chess Championship. And yesterday, I watched the game where one of the players was winning easily, just destroying her opponent. Mm-hmm. And she made a mistake and the game turned completely around. And at the end, she ended up losing in devastating style. She got up from the board, stormed away. You could see it in her face. Just like, what just happened? I cannot believe I screwed that up. And she's got to recover from that and continue in the tournament. That's how emotionally taxing, brutal and crushing a game can be.
Yeah. And there's so much, because there's just the mental aspect of it that I think people overlook, because it's not a physical sport. You can't like put your finger on like how hard someone is working or how the game is moving if you don't truly understand the difficulty of someone of what someone's doing. Like whenever I watch like Counter-Strike for example, and I'll see like a flick shot or something like that, I personally could not do that. Like, I personally could not sit down and be Simple or Zywu. I just, like, how I could not sit down and even dream about taking on one of the Botez sisters. Like, there's no way. And it's just the fact that they're so far ahead of me in something that is truly so pure in a competitive aspect that it has to deem my respect. That's how I just think about things when it's, like, you know, not a sport or it is a sport.
Let me make a point that I think everybody gets. Mm. Imagine you study as hard as possible, like deeply as hard as possible for an exam, let's say a college exam, high school exam, it doesn't matter. You give it your all. You do everything you can to prepare for this test. You go into the test and you try to ace that test. And as you're trying to ace the test, the questions change in the middle of the test. Like, it's like, wait a minute, what's happening here? I thought I was prepared. And I'm making this analogy to chess. When you think you have the best ideas you can bring, but your opponent is like, no, here's a different idea. Figure this one out. And so now you go from, I'm fully prepared. I want to ace this test. I'm going to get an A. And suddenly you're nervous as ever. You're seeing different questions. They're kind of similar to the questions you prepared for, but they're not exactly the same, but they're getting harder and harder. And then you finish and then you're told you failed. That's what you feel like when you lose a chess game.
Heartbreaking.
And you got to bounce back. but if you win, what a feeling.
Yeah. And I think that same thing can be applied just to any other aspect in life. And I think that's an important lesson of chess. Like, you can really just throw yourself at a problem in your life, try, and still fail. And now you got to be like, all right, let's pick ourselves up. Let's try it again.
Losing is not
right. Losing is valuable. Losing is learning.
Losing is an opportunity to learn. Thank your opponent for making you stronger. Thank that situation for showing you how you can be better. Be grateful. One grandmaster, Irina Krush, she's an 8-time women's champion. She said a sentence to me that I thought was like incredible. What a lesson for life. She said, celebrate your losses. It's not a lesson she learned easily, but because she used to throw chess pieces, bang her head against a wall, smash glasses. But someone said to her, celebrate your losses. Get a glass of wine when you lose. Don't put it in yourself, the feeling of this loss, so embedded that it hampers you. Treat it as something that gave you a chance to elevate yourself. Right. And celebrate it as something that's wonderful. Mm-hmm. And then you'll see that losing doesn't have to hold you back. It can actually catapult you to greater heights.
Absolutely. I think that was a great thing to kind of propel us on that topic of innovation. But the last thing that I would like to end it on, which I thought was really, really cool, because I was stalking your Twitter a little bit this morning. August 20th, 2016, what does that date mean to a citizen in Brookhaven?
You know, I'm not really sure what it means to them. I know it means a lot to me because they made it Maurice Ashley Day in that city. Very special for me each year to be honored in such a way to remember that they honored me and that I actually have a Maurice Ashley Day somewhere. It means that the journey that I have taken has been impactful. It means that it's mattered. I mean, people have recognized that I've given something back. Mm-hmm. And so I'm happy whenever I see it. I'm humbled by it. And I'm reminded of the journey of everyone who helped me get here, specifically my mother and grandmother, who sacrificed so much in order to make sure the kids made it. And I can say, not just me, my sister and my brother are both in their respective Hall of Fames. My brother as a kickboxer, my sister as a boxer. And it's incredible that the family made it this far. So yeah. I'm grateful.
Absolutely. Both world champions, correct? As well. Yeah, that's when I also researched that, I was like, you know what? The Ashley family, if they wanted to rule the world one day, I'd be all right with it. You know, like they got the brains and the brawn on all the family, you know, and I'm sure that you didn't, you know, walk away from a punch or two. You know, I'm sure you can stand your ground too.
I've got some swag. Yes.
Yeah.
And it's important because we pass it on to the kids. So the next generation of Ashleys are on their way.
And I have no doubt they're going to do incredible things in life as well. That's all the time that we have for today's show. Thank you so much for joining us. Like my favorite interviewer always says, there's nothing left to do but roll out the red carpet for you. So take these next couple minutes to tell the listeners all about the exciting things you got coming up in your life.
I appreciate it. I got a lot of great things. I would direct folks to my website, mauriceashley.com. I have an app out there that teaches chess. So certainly check it out in the app store. Just look up Maurice Ashley and it'll pop right up. And I get a chance to go to Dubai to call the World Chess Championships for NBC Sports. I'm very much looking forward to that. It just shows that chess keeps the journey going, always growing, always learning. That's the most important thing.
Perfect. Thank you so much. I'm personally going to go download this chess app and learn how to play some chess. Maybe I'll be level 2500 by the next time we speak. But
ambitious.
Ambitious. That's good. Thank you. Well, you have a great day. Thank you so much for being on the podcast. We really appreciate your time.
Thank you, Jasper.
Maurice is set to speak at our government IT symposium November 16th from 9:15 to 10:15. For more information on the government IT symposium, go to fusionlp.org/ITSYM. Thanks for listening to Behind the Podium, a podcast series brought to you by Fusion Learning Partners. Visit our website, fusionlp.org, for the full lineup of podcasts and for all the exciting events we have coming up.